Good morning. This is The Takeaway, and I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. Russian author and dissident Alexander Solzhenitsyn died yesterday from heart failure. The 89-year-old author was the literary voice to chronicle the horrors of the Stalinist prison system, the Gulag.
The hammer banged reveille on the rail outside Camp HQ at 5 o'clock as always. Time to get up. The ragged noise was muffled by ice 2 fingers thick on the windows and soon died away. Too cold for the warder to go on hammering.
It's a BBC reading from Solzhenitsyn's first novel, A Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich. Solzhenitsyn always thought of himself in the tradition of other titans of Russian literature. While others focused on his role as a dissident speaking to the West, Solzhenitsyn was a Russian voice speaking to the Russian people.
I can't say that I wrote my books in order to open the eyes of the West to what had been going on in the East. Above all, I wrote all my books for the benefit of my own people, for the Russians, because we ourselves don't know our own history.
He won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1970, something he did not collect in person in Stockholm. He was afraid to leave his country for fear he couldn't return. By 1974, that was no longer a fear. It was reality. The KGB found a manuscript for the first part of his monumental work, The Gulag Archipelago. He was deported to West Germany in February of that year, and eventually he and his family moved to America, Cavendish, Vermont, in 1976. But he was not ever of America. Here's biographer Michael Scammell speaking of Solzhenitsyn's isolation in the free America.
The joke went that when he moved to Vermont, he built his own small gulag around himself. For instance, he upset many neighbors by building a fence around his property. He lived with his family, spoke and wrote Russian all the time, every day, listened to the BBC, particularly to the BBC's Russian service. So he kept, I think, first Switzerland, where he lived, and then America at a certain distance.
Solzhenitsyn never spoke fluent English in the 2 decades he lived here, but he was an irresistible darling of the Western world embroiled in the Cold War. But when the Cold War ended, the country that once persecuted him welcomed him back with open, warm arms in that tradition of Soviet love of Russian love of literature. In 1990, his Soviet citizenship was restored, and in 1994, he made plans to move back. Here he speaks with his son Stephen translating.
I go to Russia overfilled with thoughts and feelings.
И в груди, и в голове,
both in my heart and in my head.
And later that year, he was greeted with cheers and applause by the people of Vladivostok.
I never doubted that communism was doomed to collapse, but I was always afraid of how Russia would emerge from that communism and at what price. I know I am coming back to a worn-out, discouraged, shell-shocked, unrecognizably changed Russia, which is wandering about in search of itself.
Words that might have been used to describe Solzhenitsyn's legacy inside the country that had welcomed him back. Even as he returned, he remained a polarizing figure. His critics say that his more recent works confirmed his anti-Semitism and his theory of Russian supremacy to other nations. He criticized the excesses of the new Russian government and claimed it was really not democracy. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, author, exiled, and then returned to Russia. Always a Russian. He lived to be 89 years old and died yesterday.